What's going on, listeners? This is your host, Brother X. And before we get started with today's episode, I just want to let you know about this wonderful platform called Anchor. It is one of the number one free podcasting platforms that allows you to both not only record, edit, and design your podcast to your needs, where you're able to push out and distribute your podcast to all your listeners across all the different podcasting platforms, whether it is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, they are connected to it, and they're a wonderful platform. It's totally free. You can check them out at anchor.fm. And with that being said, guys, let's get into this. And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the Culture and Science.
What is wrong with you?
There's like three things happening all at once for me. No, I was trying to pay attention to you while you were talking. Mr. Smith was doing like a Carlton looking dance, and then something fell. And yeah, sorry.
Again, to the span of a squirrel. But here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly and honestly about everything in between, why people can't get right in 2023. Yeah, man, life is interesting, but we're going to get into that a little bit later. But thank you to all the listeners and subscribes. I believe the last time I checked, we were close to almost 4,000 plays across all podcasting platforms. So shout out to us. It's like baby air horns. Not the big ones. We ain't got enough of those. I think it's pretty dope that we're able to do that. We're continuing to grow, getting new followers and new shout outs all the time. But I mean, continue to share. And always, we are taking donations.
Money.
Funds.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Cheddar.
Loaf. Bricks.
Cheddar biscuits.
I ain't got nothing.
Alright. But you get the idea, listeners. But before we go any further, you know we got the OG crew in the building. You know we got him, you love him. He got on the Blues Clues throwback t-shirt himself. Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
Nah, fam. It's Pac-Man. Get it right. The OG triple OG. All he did was
you like someone that gobbles up everything with their mouth?
Wow.
Be specific. He gobbled balls.
Ah.
Just gonna put that out there. Ha ha. Anywho, it's your favorite fed, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank the listeners for the comments, plates, and subscriptions. Keep feeding us. We'll keep feeding y'all. Again, shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast for always showing us love and support. And I don't even know how to intro this small little piece, but I'm just going to say it outright. A Mississippi woman arrested for filming herself having sex with a male hoodlum dog.
Hey, yo, what the fuck?
Nigga, what? why are you having sex with a dog? Two, why are you filming it? Three, nigga, why are you having sex with a dog?
Sir.
You say OG, right?
Yes, dog. Bow, wow, yes. Wow. Not Shy Box. Not D-O-double-G. Not Soup Dog.
All right.
Just had to go ahead and put that out there.
Not Omega Sci-Fi. That's what we're doing here. Yeah, but the thing is, her caption is what kills me, where she says, "For all those bitches who had some nerve to say I fucked my dog, like, nah, the only dog I fucked was your boy, so stop saying it if it ain't true. Only my true friends would stick up for me. All I have to say is fuck y'all, motherfucker." And then she ended up saying that the reason that she did it was because she was threatened to do it. It's like, where? How? Whom? Where is the evidence? Please provide the evidence. That somebody would say, "Hey, I don't want you. I want my dog to get up in that ass." Like,
I know dogs sniff ass, but sir, that is a lot.
Yeah.
It wasn't a cat, because you know a cat turns as rough.
Say that again.
It wasn't a cat, because a cat turns as rough.
That's the part that we should take solace in.
I don't know. Where my went.
Oh, wow. You know, that's really crazy. We're going to get back to some other crazy stories in just a moment. But you know, we got to do a quick mental health check-in. Coach and Scientist, how you feeling?
Tired.
Tired?
I'm just tired. I'm not sure why. But, you know, I'm just trying to take it one day at a time and keep it positive. And it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to have to constantly you know, do your cycle. And that means if you do well for a little while, then do bad. As long as you get back up and try again and keep going again, it's okay.
That's true. Mr. Smith, how you feeling?
I'm doing all right. You know, just trying to I guess juggle work and my hobbies and stuff like that. And I mean, you know, as I talked to you off air, you know, the work call went a little bit longer than I was expecting. So for my mental, I'm looking forward to a well-deserved vacation, like one where I actually can turn everything off and just relax. Of course, we got the information and listeners. The cookout that we've always talked about is coming back July 2nd. Free promo.
But what about the free tickets, though?
VIP.
Listen.
We always come up faithful, though.
That tip, though.
We advertise all the time, though.
Them space tables, though. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, they don't want that smoke. They don't want that smoke. Me and Brother X literally got a 10 hand on the first hand and was like, we're off the table immediately. We whoops booty. That is all.
I promise you, anybody that come up to us, we want all smoke. I promise you, anybody can get it. Queen C, I know you listening. You and your mama can get it too.
And your
really? Really, we gonna bring it back to Outkast, me and you, your mama and your cousin too. That's what we doing
exactly, because we want all the smoke.
But yeah, overall, just you know, taking it one day at a time, making sure my health is in order, looking after my family, just you know, just the small things. So just being grateful for each day on this earth.
I appreciate that. I know for myself, man. It's been an interesting few days. I've been off from teaching, which has been a blessing. It's like a pseudo spring break for me. I had a very interesting experience the last few days. Shout out to my soon to be nephew. In about 6-7 months, give or take. But he came down with the rest of the family. We had a chance to kind of kick it with them, kind of spoil a nephew. I never really grew up with that experience because of family situation. But it was really dope. Although he about got his head knocked off a few times because you know elementary level kids don't know how to act sometimes. They got too much energy for no good reason. Why are you bouncing off the walls at 7:30 in the morning?
Why are you trying to scare me every 2 seconds?
Yeah, he almost got his head knocked off because he tried to scare me outside of my house. But we're not going to talk about that. It was a fun time. We busted his behind in go karts. Shout out to everybody who was on there. Yeah. You know who came first? Who came first, baby?
You did.
Was it even close?
Yes, actually.
I beat everybody. I want all this smoke. Mario Kart, go kart.
He did start first.
Whose fault is that? Y'all weren't paying attention in line.
Sorry.
I maintained a lead. I'm sorry that I took it from pole to pole. I am that Negro. I am the Black Luigi. Holla at me. We don't have to be Mario out here. Also, shout out to that movie. I will be seeing it this week. Probably Friday. But I think it was really dope just kind of fellowshipping, just realizing having different family time and learning to lean into that more and being more comfortable in those spaces has allowed the break to be good. I am thankful that we have the house back to ourselves now. I will say, man, I know Mr. Smith was talking about it. The health piece of it is always important, man, because I know myself and the culture scientists, we've been working with a chiropractor. Last few weeks kind of working on getting our spinal and just overall health in order. And when I tell you listeners, the adjustment that the culture scientists and I had, top level, took us out. Maybe took me out like 2 or 3 hours later. I was knocked out of sleep. Culture scientists probably going to sleep soon.
Remember last week I said that my neck was hurting?
Yes.
And all that problems. Yeah, it's still hurting, right? And he did that adjustment on that side. Listen. The greatest feeling ever, okay?
Yes. So it's just phenomenal. Continue to like monitor your health, man. Just be understanding that preventative care always takes care of reactive care. So just keep that in mind. With that being said, we actually got a couple of quick hitter stories. Mr. Smith, I know we tied over here, but this next story, woo boy, it's something. You wanna take this one?
Yes. So robbers broke into a house in Colombia, got drunk and passed out, then later found on the floor and arrested. To which I have to say, how the fuck? Let me get this right. You said, ooh, that house is going to be good. We're going to go ahead and get everybody for all they got. Oh, look, there's some Henny and some tequila, some 1800 Platinum, as well as some Don Julio Reposado. Let's take some shots to our newfound wealth. A few moments later, they're out. And then people walk in like, what the fuck? Nah, call the popo ho. Let's get him up out of here. How are you that bad at breaking in that you fall asleep on the job? I thought the point was to get in and get out. You in, then you out. It's like the story of the penny raid I told on the podcast. Get in, get out. You ain't supposed to be in there too long. But
right. No, I mean, that's crazy. Because, wow. I don't know how I would react. I might stop him out just a little bit, just to get my frustration. Just a little bit. Then call police.
No. I know how you're going to react. Number one, you're going to be like, I know these motherfuckers ain't in my house. Then number two, you're going to skip one of them off principle.
I'm about to say, I'm hitting it with the over-the-shoulder throw like Ryu from Street Fighter.
You're going to skip one of them, steal off on the second one, and then once you're done, then you'll call the police and say, hey, I got two people. They're knocked out. I need you to come get them. They broke into my house. And when they come in, they're going to be like, what happened to them? Nothing. They fell.
Yep, exactly. And the code science is going to be hyping the back. Like, yeah, I told him. I warned him. I told him I was a thug.
Basically.
Ain't touched one person the entire time.
Basically.
But yeah.
I might get a kick in, but that's about it.
But then she's going to be like, yeah, I'm a thug nugget. I did that shit as well.
Yeah.
Want to go knock, knock, nigga?
I see nothing wrong.
But, you know, that reminds me of another story. Speaking of fighting, apparently a Florida middle school teacher is facing charges after allegedly organizing a fight club in the classroom. The rules were 30 seconds, no screaming, no yelling, no phones.
Wow.
Cue explanation of Fight Club, the movie.
There is no fight club, and there are no rules. I don't know what you're talking about. What club? Huh? What? Who? Where? Huh? Exactly.
So to give you a little bit of background, quick background information, this Florida middle school teacher is facing charges after detectives said that she organized fights in the classroom. Now, listeners, I'm not going to say that she's right, but there are times where legitimately some people just need to scrap to get out of the system so I can get back to teaching, because I'm like, dog, if y'all not going to throw hands, stop pushing each other, stop shoving each other. Now, if you're not going to really be about that action, just go on. But court documents obtained from WCTV noted that the 23-year-old Angel Footman organized a fight club in her classroom at Griffin Middle School in Tallahassee. Yes, listeners, it is another Florida story. On March 22nd and on March 23rd. So it was a pay-per-view weekend, man. Look at that. Look at God. Where several sixth graders were allowed to scrap it out. The students told the detectives that they participated in the planned fights under the condition of 30 seconds, no screaming, no yelling, no fight. I'm sorry, no phones. They said that they were also invited back for additional fights. Yo, she is the Don King of middle school fights.
Like, I'm mad that as soon as you said that, the first thing I think of is Dave Chappelle talking about, this is a split difference occasion.
But funny. Terrible. A school resource deputy was alerted about the incident on March 24th. So after everybody, you know what probably happened? Someone lost some money on the fights, and they told the SRO.
Probably.
And a probable cause affidavit revealed that videos of the fight shows Footman sitting on her desk, failing to intervene instead of telling students, no screaming, no nothing, and stop pulling hair. Well, that's fair. I mean, you want them hands. You win some, you lose some, but you live to fight another day. And you don't pull out any trash while you're at it. Footman did not organize the fights, but admitted that she failed to call for help or take action to stop the fights, reporting the incidents to administration. The teacher now faces four counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. An arraignment is scheduled for May 4th. Coach and scientist, so I know you're not going to be the one of the people that was scrapping in middle school.
No.
But would you be one of the people placing bets?
I'd probably be the one passing out the lollipops.
What? Where would you be getting the lollipops from?
So in middle school, especially in seventh grade, I had an obsession with the blow pop lollipops.
Oh, really?
I did.
What do you mean by that?
I used to buy them all the time and eat them, and then people wanted them, I would also share them. Now, granted, I'm not an idiot. I know that there was probably boys' brains were also, you know, active back then.
Back then? Now? I'm about to say, hey, so episode 29. Yeah, go ahead, redact all that out. Really?
I don't know, that's staying in there. That's hilarious. Y'all engaged. Y'all fine. Everybody know what's up.
There it is. But no, it's...
I had to practice on something. Didn't know what I was practicing for.
Oh, my God! Wow! Oh, my God!
Wow. All right. Mrs. Milk, you have any quick thoughts about this? No? You okay?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I was not prepared for that. My apologies. Oh, that editing is going to be fun. Okay, on one end, like, yeah, it's bad. She shouldn't have organized Fight Club and all that good. But on the other end, it's like, granted, she is saying no screaming, no nothing, stop. She's, like you said, throw hands, 30 seconds, get it out. As we were growing up, especially as boys turning into teens or whatever, it was like, look, sometimes you just got to get those 30 seconds, pop, pop, pop. And at the end of it, you're like, you know what? You all right with me, though. We just had to get that out. All right, cool. So, but if I was her, I probably would have said, look, y'all wait till after school and y'all handle that outside. Don't have me involved in none of that. Me no speaking the English. So, yeah. I got to give it to her, though. She took it back to old school. She said, no yelling, no phones, no screaming. When she said, that's when you know. That's when you know she knows what's up. She's like, no phones, so there's no evidence. I don't want to be involved. None of that. Now, my question is, who had the videos of the fights? Because there was no phones.
Someone who wasn't fighting.
They said CCTV.
No, they didn't say...
Yeah, because that's not they're not going to have a video camera in the classroom. So that video came off of somebody's phone. It had to have.
Right.
So I wonder...
Probably someone who was like, the teacher said, hey, send me them videos. Because it had to have been somebody who was like in the back or someone who wasn't in that class. Guaranteed someone pulled up to the classroom because they heard about it and recorded and didn't hear all the rules and just recorded and then like, oh, shit hit the fan. You not about to get me. I'm snitching like I'm 6'9". Mom. But that's just crazy. But now we're going to go ahead and get into everybody's favorite sports center. Mr. Smith, take it away.
That happened over the course of the last week, so I'm gonna try to go in order as fast as I can. The WNBA, well, so after March Madness, of course, with LSU winning the NCAA college championship, basketball championship in women's, the WNBA draft went on, and Aliyah Boston went, of course, number one overall to the Indiana Fever. There was no surprise there. Also, there was a lot of South Carolina player. I think there was like three or four that went in the first round. So Coach Dawn Staley be doing what she be doing. Zia Cook, who went number 10 to Los Angeles Sparks. And listeners, if you ever look her up, she went viral because like in high school, she crossed the girl up so bad that she had to stop and be like, ooh, that was nasty. Now, of course, the video cuts off to where you don't know if she finished the play or not, but she literally like crossed the girl up, backed up and like, come on, come get some more. Like Brother X say, I want all the smoke. So it's going to be looking interesting for the WNBA. I'm looking forward to next draft because eligible players include Paige Buckers, Caitlin Clark, and Angel Reese. Those three alone is a woo. That's going to be a loaded class. So
yeah,
we'll see what goes on with that. Moving on to the UFC and Israel Adesanya, a.k.a. the Last Stylebender, got his revenge against Alex Pereira. I don't remember how to say his last name.
Close
enough. I believe it was in the second round, going towards the end of the second round, and Pereira got him against the wall. And I mean, Pereira was getting in Israel's ass for a good portion of the fight with them leg kicks. And then, he did the one thing they always say when it comes to boxing, protect yourself at all times. Piardia's hands went low as he's throwing combinations. Stylebender caught him with a two-piece extra spicy, and that man went night-night. And he had one of the coldest taunts. Like, that almost makes me... I want to do that on the football field. It was that cold. Like, that taunt at the end of it for him to get his belt back was cold. But then to make matters worse, this is the same guy that was the only person to knock out the last Stylebender when he was an amateur at the time. And if you look back at that video a long time ago, the Pierre's son, who maybe would have been like 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever at the time, got into the ring and acted like he was a Stylebender getting knocked out by just falling on the ground right next to Israel Adesanya. Well, if you know the Stylebender, you know he is a petty motherfucker and he holds on to grudges. This man knocked out Alex, went around the ring, looked for the son, pointed at him, and then fell like he was dropping a dead body. And I said, oh, I mean, but hey, man, you dish it, you got to be ready to take it. He held on to that for a minute. And then he even brought it up in the press conference afterwards. So, yeah, that fight, I'm looking forward to see how the Stylebender, who's his next person to fight. But overall, a great fight indeed. To the NFL, Ravens, I'm impressed. The Ravens ended up signing wide receiver Odell Beckham to a 1-year, $18 million contract with $15 million guaranteed. Really like 13, 15. It's a lot of like, you know, weird contractual mumbo jumbo in that. But overall, Odell Beckham Jr., a.k.a. I'm him, one-handed, you ain't getting this, is coming to Baltimore. Now, the thing that kills me about it is that's a lot of money for a wide receiver. Granted, we haven't had a wide receiver one since, I want to say, Steve Smith Sr.?
Yes.
And that was probably at least 6 years ago, maybe longer. Yeah, that was at least 6 or 7 years ago. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to do with that. I know that they're not done yet. I mean, obviously, we have the draft. Hopefully, in the draft, their 22nd pick can go to a corner so they can replace Marcus Peters. And then hopefully we can also still trade for D-Hop with maybe a second-round pick or whatever and try to get the Cardinals to eat some of the salary cap. And you're telling me a wide receiver core of Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins, Mark Andrews, with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards in the backfield with Lamar Jackson, that is scary. That is championship or bust team, and I will be looking forward to that. Going into the draft, of course, the combine's over. Everyone's having their pro days and their interviews. Brother X brought something to my attention. A former Kentucky quarterback, Will Levis, says in one that he eats bananas with the peel on and puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
Oh, that's nasty.
Okay, the banana with the peel on, I've seen that before. So that's okay. Mayonnaise in your coffee? Nigga, you shouldn't even be drafted now. Or matter of fact, you now immediately go to Mr. Irrelevant. Like, you need to be the last pick of the draft because that is disgusting. I don't know.
I noticed that you had you look befuddled or puzzled by this. You had a question or thought?
What?
Yes. And before you ask, yes, he is of the Caucasus Mountains.
This mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Part.
Yes.
I don't understand.
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it was something that he did on a dare once and he just continued to do it. I'm like, sir, your taste buds need to be on the terrorist watch list. Mm-hmm. Like, but why? Like, yeah, no, it was cool. Like, that. You were never, I'm never having a morning breakfast with him ever. Because I might literally have an out-of-body experience. But, Mr. Smith, continue.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll be looking to see who goes number one overall in the draft. And really, the main people I'm going to be looking at is who the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans select. I believe both of them are going to go quarterback, but there's been talk that even the Texans might not go quarterback, although that might be a smokescreen. So we'll kind of see what goes on with the draft. It's I'm also looking to see, and like I said, in regards to the D-Hop situation, I'm hoping it's kind of the same thing we did with Marquise Brown last year, where it's like a draft trade is agreed in principle prior to the draft. And then it's like, as soon as the thing comes up, it's like, oh yeah, D-Hop has been traded to Baltimore for a second round pick and this player. And it's like, oh, okay. Now with this pick, they're up. But yeah, we'll see what goes on with the NFL. Now to the NBA. That was a doozy. So when we last talked, listeners, the Lakers were in the seventh seed and pretty much at the edge of the play-in, trying to get out of the play-in and get into an automatic bid for a playoff spot. When we talked, they had to play the Clippers, and the Clippers destroyed them. Like, that wasn't even – I ain't never seen – they weren't even – it wasn't even close. Like, I could tell by the body language and the fact that they were tired. It was a back-to-back game. They ain't have it. So the Lakers ended up winning their final two games, and they needed – either the Clippers or the – well, they really needed the Warriors, but they needed the Clippers to either lose two games or the Warriors to lose one of the games so that they can hold the tiebreaker over them. Well, I don't know what Brother X's Warriors took the day before their final game, but they destroyed the Blazers. Like, it wasn't even – like, nigga, they dropped 55 points in a quarter. Not just any quarter, the first quarter. Listeners, I don't think you really understand how many – they dropped what people usually get in a quarter and a half, two quarters, in 12 minutes. That is insane. So, you know, obviously the Warriors took the sixth seed and the Clippers took the fifth seed. So, of course, the Lakers had to play in the play-in, which happened as of the time of this recording, the night before, which would be Tuesday. They played the Timberwolves. Now, for the Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert, their star center, since I guess Carl Anthony Towns is power forward, and guard Kyle Anderson got to an altercation mid-game in their finals regular season game. And Gobert kind of gave him the Chris Childs almost two-piece. He caught one and looked like he was loading up for the second, but he couldn't. So, of course, Gobert gets suspended. I forgot there was somebody else that got suspended. And then Jaden McDaniels, who's one of their premier defenders, at halftime of their regular season game, punches a wall out of frustration and fractures his hand. So he's pretty much done for the postseason if the Timberwolves, you know, win and get into the playoffs. So no Rudy Gobert, no Jaden McDaniels, there's no third person, and Kyle Anderson's the only one that's left in the game, along with Carl Anthony Towns and Mike Conley. And then Anthony Edwards, obviously. And you would think, all right, Lakers, you got some rest. You don't got to worry about a defensive stop in the middle. You ain't got no big man. Should be an easy game, right? Wrong. The Timberwolves got in the Lakers' ass the first three quarters. I mean, like, they couldn't miss a shot in three. The Lakers violent, too many freaking turnovers. Like, that was I was texting Brother X on the side, like, well, usually when they win, I don't watch the game, so I guess I need to turn this off and just play 2K because it's like it's not working. I guess it must have started working because in the fourth quarter, the Lakers decided to actually wake the hell up and realize, oh, they don't have Rudy Gobert. We should go into the paint. Anthony Davis, go into the paint. What do? They go into the paint. Now, I'm not going to say that the Lakers actually, like, turned it on. I'm going to say more so that the Timberwolves choked because they didn't drive to the lane. Granted, Carl Anthony Towns, I think, like, had five fouls with 10 minutes left in the game. There was a lot of people in foul trouble, so they were trying to watch that. But it was, like, a lot of jump shooting. And the last, like, couple minutes of the game, nobody could score. So, final play, LeBron gets the ball, drives to the hoop, brings all the defenders in, kicks out to Dennis Schroeder, who hits a corner three with 1.4 seconds left. Should be game, right? wrong. The Timberwolves decide to run a set, and Mike Conley goes to the corner and gets the ball almost wide open. And Anthony Davis has to run late and try to contest. Mike Conley hits the backboard, doesn't hit the hoop, but Anthony Davis fouls him. So he gets three free throws, hits all three. We're going overtime. What the hell? Why are you giving us this much stress? Of course, in overtime, the Lakers end up taking care of business. So they are officially in the playoffs as the seventh seed and will face the Memphis Grizzlies. Timberwolves, I'm not going to lie, they choked that game. I wish I could say, oh, the Lakers really, like, took care of business. They did, but the Timberwolves choked that game. And more so, Kyle Anderson, the one who had that whole altercation, he had, like, five turnovers with, like, three coming in the last couple of minutes of the game. Yeah, they were crucial. So, going into it, the playoffs are – we're still waiting for the eight seed to be decided. Those games will be taking place, I want to say, by the time this episode comes out. So, we won't know who goes up against the one seed, but we do know the rest of them. So, in the Western Conference, we have – the Grizzlies, who are the second seed, going up against the Lakers. We have the Sacramento Kings going up against Brother X's Golden State Warriors. The Phoenix Suns going up against the Clippers. And then on the Eastern Conference, we have the Cavaliers against the Knicks, the 76ers versus the Nets, and Boston Celtics versus Atlanta. That was the other thing. Atlanta went up against Miami and embarrassed them in their own court. That was pretty bad. Honestly, I could give my prediction. I'll just say this. I got the Clippers beating the Suns. I got the Lakers beating Memphis. I have the Warriors beating the Kings, which sucks because that means that Brother X's Warriors goes up against my Lakers in the second round. And I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Yes.
Eastern Conference, I'll say the Cavaliers beat the Knicks, the 76ers beat the Nets, Boston Celtics beat the Hawks. And then the one seed, Denver against either the Timberwolves or the Pelicans or the OKC. I'll say Denver for now, but they're suspect sometimes. And then Milwaukee against either the Heat, Bulls, or Toronto. Milwaukee's destroying all of them, so it doesn't really matter. So that's it for all the Sports Center. If you have any other questions, comments, or concerns regarding NFL news, or you want to learn more about it, hit up my boy Red Wolf on his YouTube or his Instagram. His links will be in the description below.
Plenty of the music. And now we're going to get into another segment of the podcast, which is Now Mind You. In Now Mind You, we talk about different things we find on the internet, or on social media, or on Ball Alert, where we actually talk about it in a way that we tell you Now Mind You to give you the most vital or key thing about said story. Now, Coach of Scientist, are you familiar with a certain event called...
Freak Night!
Yeah. So you've heard of it, yes. So apparently Hulu is going to be... showing, because I've heard different things, whether or not they're producing it. No, I'm sorry. As I read the article right now, they're just putting out a documentary that's produced by Jermaine Dupri and Uncle Luke, which should tell you everything you should need to know about what Freaknik is. But Coach Scientist, would you like to read a little bit about this?
Who announces Freaknik, the wildest party ever told, never told documentary? The film's executives, producers include Jermaine Dupri and Uncle Luke. The picture that is featured is, it looks like Jesse Jackson. Every time I see it, that's what I think of. I know it's not him, though. This is William...
Wait, redacted. Like, we gotta protect the innocent.
My man, that's not what I mean. Okay.
Go ahead and read that next part for me.
Hulu has plans to bring the story of Freaknik to the silver screen, exclusively reported by Variety. The streamer announced Freaknik, the wildest party never told, an original documentary. Sorry,
there you go.
Chronicling how the infamous affair came to prominence. Prominence, sorry, and its demise. According to the project synopsis, it recounts the rise and fall of a small Atlantic HBCU picnic. Sound about right? That exploded.
We'll get into that.
Into an influential street party and spotlighted ATL as a major cultural stage, raising the question, can the magic of Freaknik be brought back 40 years later? Nah, it's something special about the 90s.
So there's a lot that goes into this. Now, first and foremost, listeners, go ahead and ask your mama, your daddy, your grandparents, maybe some of your aunts and uncles, is there something they want to tell you before you see this documentary? Because last thing you need to see is your uncle or your daddy dry humping your mama at Freaknik. Which, listeners, I'm going to give you a little bit of exclusive information. I don't really tell this story a whole lot, but my father, God rest his soul, one time we were just talking about different events, and he told me offhand that, yeah, he went to Freaknik once. I'm sorry, Pastor Pete, the godly man that is my father. You went where? Yeah, I didn't go too far into that conversation. So, listeners, if you do not hear about this part of the podcast because it got cut out, yeah, I found out my father was in the documentary. Yikes! But I think for the less serious though, it seems like it's just a fellowship. Black people couldn't loose and have a good time in the 90s. Have a good time, yeah. I mean, what could ever go wrong in such a situation?
Listen, when I was little,
yes,
I wanted to grow up and go to Freaknik. I did. I wanted, like, if I didn't know much of anything, one of the things I associated with being Black,
yes,
was Freaknik.
Mine was Black Biker Week down in World Beach.
That didn't come to me until I got to college.
That's fair. Mrs. Smith, thoughts?
Yeah, so for me, the first thing I think of is everybody is like aunties and uncles is like nervous because they're like, yo, I thought that we could get away with it. Because listeners, if you don't know, especially those that are, you know, younger than millennium, back in 94, folks didn't have cell phones. They didn't have, you know, the type of technology we have now. Folks had camcorders. If you don't know what a camcorder is, ask your older relatives. They will know what it is. But that's about the most you would have of video evidence. Outside of that, back then, there was no internet. Well, there was, and technically there was internet, but it wasn't as mainstream as it is now. But it was just being in the moment. Now, those moments were a little,
spicy, say at least.
Spicy is an understatement.
Oh no, we talking about there was a lot of groping and there's a lot of non-consensual stuff that happened. So there's a reason why Freaknik isn't a thing anymore, or what it was originally. Now, mind you,
yes,
don't ask me how I know, but there are some people who are trying to bring Freaknik back in a different version, one last year. Now I remember, yeah. I didn't go to it, of course, because I'm saved and sanctified. Isn't that right, Mrs. Smith?
That's not why
that's you're right.
That. Thank you, Mrs. Smith. At least somebody has my back.
but I mean, overall, the question where it says, can the magic of Freaknik be bought back 40 years later? I'm gonna answer that question off rip. No, it can't. And there's a reason why. Back then, especially me, Brother X, Culture Scientist, Queen C, Tucha Bay, folks that went to college during our era, we didn't care about no cell phone. We didn't care about no picture. We were there to enjoy the moment. Dance, party, you know, whatever. People get sweated out in other different things that we would not talk about. But
the blue jeans stains on the white walls of the house.
Nigga, what? So, you know, like it goes without saying, like, people were in the moment. If you look at how things are nowadays, everybody, which actually goes into what our conversation for our main topic is going to be a little bit later, everybody goes into, oh, I need to make sure I show off for my crew, or I need to show that I'm having a good time instead of having a good time. Oh, let me bring my phone camera out rather than being in the moment. And so I don't think the magic can be brought back, because all you're going to really see is what you see at every festival, every outdoor event. Everybody has their phone out and they're recording it to look at it later. I'm not saying that you can't look at, you know, have that moment, but it should not be majority of the time that you're outside. And so these people, they didn't have that. They just had, look, y'all gonna talk, y'all gonna get it from our story, you gonna get it from my memory, but this shit was wild. Whereas now it's like, oh, I need to find that out. I'll just go on Twitter and figure that out. God forbid. Let old, I'm talking 2010, 2011, 2012 Twitter, be around when Freaknik came out. Oh my God.
Bruh. No.
yeah. Savage. That- listeners, people, God. Jim Jams, Q, Luau, Q Pajama Party, Alpha Cab.
Gardner, why?
Oh God. Just, listen, just know the things that you would see, oh boy. You think people are promiscuous now. We just didn't have any film on this.
Yes, no. And I mean, I'm going to end it off with this. And I was trying to see if I could find the picture, but every picture I'm finding is, like, redacted. But there is literally one picture that everyone always brings up, which is this cop, Thaddeus Lloyd, where it shows him in his cop uniform pulling apart a woman's bottom lips, we'll say, and looking at the camera. That's the type of shit that happened to Freaknik. Now, imagine that, but everybody got a cell phone. Nah, that ain't happening.
You know how many people would be in jail worse than that, what it was?
Yeah, there probably should have been, but also there's some people who just had some genuine fun. So for those who did not have things consensually, I hope you get justice. But for those who did have consensual, I pray that you wrap it up and you don't have illegitimate kids now. I'm just going to leave it at that. But you know, I believe it is about that time. I've been in the lab. Breaking news report. What the fuck, CDLs? Cue the music. So, shout out to Queen C for this story. The report is, police share that a naked man steals a school bus with a dead deer in the back, leads the officers on a chase. So let's delve more into this story. So in this story, the person in question is a man in Pennsylvania, so shout out to PA, was arrested and charged after police said he led officers on a chase in a stolen school bus. Officers with the Carroll Township Police Department spotted the school bus, which was reported stolen Tuesday morning, driving through the parking lot of a Giant Food and Rite Aid. Now you know that was in a black neighborhood. And yes, listeners, he is very mulatto, but he is still black. Authorities said the lights on the bus were immediately turned on and off. So, what were you doing? According to the police, the officers caught up to the school bus and tried to pull it over, but the driver immediately pulled away. It continues to say that the driver, identified as 25-year-old Tony Saunders, nearly flipped the bus over and eventually drove into a neighborhood where he got out of the vehicle and started running through a wooded area. Police said Saunders stripped his clothes off as he was running and was arrested. I'm sorry, listeners. His running juked me out of that sentence. The police said Saunders stripped his clothes off as he was running and was arrested naked. I don't understand why he would do that. But according to the police, Saunders admitted to taking the bus earlier in the day after crashing a BMW. Dog, where'd you get the BMW from? I'm still wondering where he got the deer. But he said that he had put a dead deer in the back of his bus and explained that he planned to take it home to use it as fertilizer for his garden. Saunders was charged with fleeing a police officer, stolen the property, reckless driving, and resisting arrest. So, dog, I guess you could say he was a deer in headlights. No.
Wow.
You better.
Wow.
You better give me that one.
That was silent. Yeah, I'm going to give you that one. I'm going to give you that one. That one caught me off guard, but bruh, get out of here.
Well, my question is, like, there are so many times I'm like, dog, how did you get to the BMW?
A lot of questions.
Like, I'm guessing he crashed the BMW into the deer. It was like, oh yeah, I can use this at the crib. Left the car completely. Then found an old bus that's not being used. Yo, what? Like, was it the magic school bus or something? Coach of scientists, what you gonna do if you see someone running like that through our neighborhood?
Watch.
You just gonna watch?
And then call, get my phone out.
You gonna be like Freaknik?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I'm probably getting my phone out and call some people and be like, hey, yo, this is happening right now. That's the popo.
Not unless they running up in somebody's yard. But Mr. Smith, what you doing if you seen that happening in Maryland?
Bam. If I see someone crash a BMW, take a dead deer in a school bus and elude police on a chase, I'm taking my happy ass back in the house and being like, nope. I'm gonna watch it on the news because I don't know what that man was smoking, but it must be some good shit for him to think, I'm gonna steal this bus with a dead deer. I'm then gonna drive the bus into a neighborhood, get out of the bus, leave the deer, and run through the neighborhood, run through the wooded area, and then at the same time, I'm gonna strip my clothes off while I'm running. To which I'm trying to figure out, what was the purpose of you stripping your clothes off? Do you think that was gonna make you faster? Do you think that you were going to be like the naked deaf man off of Family Guy? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, you're never going to catch me. See you next week, America. So but then your whole point of taking this dead deer was to be like, you know what? This deer might be a carcass, but he's going to make for some great fertilizer in my garden. Let me go ahead and get it. And I can get this for $3.99? Sir, how are you going to turn the deer into fertilizer? Were you just going to let it rot in your garden? Were you going to grind it? Like, again, as Brother X said, there are so many questions that need answers because I am just confused, befuddled, But then his mugshot as he's smiling, I'm like, yeah, you high as hell. They ain't no way about it. You high as hell.
You see.
No, he owns crack.
That's what you think?
I mean, he could be on what this dude from this next story is actually on. Listeners, I don't know about y'all. I'm a little hungry. I might go get some food after this. But listeners, I don't know if I'm ever this upset that I'm going to do with this next story did. So, do you want to go into the clip or do you want to give me a little background? I forget what we said.
We're going to just go into the clip.
All right, go ahead. Play a clip, Mr. Smith.
Is out with a Maryland man ramming his tow truck into a restaurant's front door.
Yeah, the crazy, disturbing scene happening after a man is accused of attacking restaurant workers in Temple Hill. Tisha Lewis takes us there.
Well, alarming video, all of this unfolding at New York Chicken and Grill here at this busy intersection along Colebrook Drive. And it happened on Tuesday, but you can see behind me the tire tracks still there. Also, the damage is still here at this restaurant. We're told the suspect apparently upset over an order he made. That reportedly led to this, all caught on video. The suspect trying to jump over the counter, throwing items at employees. You can see one of those employees come out from behind the counter, follow him outside. A door comes off the hinges, and the two end up tumbling to the ground. Eventually, the suspect gets up and heads to the parking lot. Then, after walking away, the suspect is accused of ramming his tow truck into the business before taking off. Prince George's County Police say this is an active investigation.
Something needed to be done about this anger with the youngsters. It's not just here, it's everywhere. It's on the road. When you drive, don't you see it?
We spoke with the restaurant manager off camera. He says the employee involved in the attack is off the next few days recovering. He apparently suffered an eye injury. We're told this restaurant has been in business and been here for 12 years. The manager telling me off camera that nothing like this has ever happened. This is a first.
So, listeners, if you didn't really get the whole gist of it, basically, a dude rolled up there, wanted some fried chicken wings and some fried rice. And they was like, yeah, we ain't got no mambo sauce number 5 for you. So, yeah, we can't fulfill your order. What the fuck you mean I can't get the fried chicken wings with the fried rice with the mambo sauce? Because, yes, listeners, this is located in Mr. Smith's neck of the woods. Would you like to speak for your people, Mr. Smith?
I would, actually. And so I'm laughing because literally as soon as I saw what kind of place it was and who was running it, I immediately was like, I already know that nigga wanted some chicken wings with some mumble sauce and he couldn't get it. I could tell off rip that's what he wanted. Now, the thing that kills me is in the article, I believe it was the fact that he had an order for like chicken tenders or something like that, and then changed his order at the last minute right before they closed. And they were like, dog, we ain't got no more wings. He's like, what you mean y'all ain't got no more wings? Y'all wing spot. Y'all should have your wings. And he's like, no, we about to close. We ain't got no more wings. And this man just goes ballistic, trying to rip off the little Apple Pay little monitor thing, whatever, as well as like trying to jump over the counter and trash stuff. I want to be as unbothered as the dude that's sitting with the wings like, this ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm just going to sit here and mind my business that pays me. And I guess it must have been the owner who like ran out there and tried to fight the guy. Dude took a door off the hinges, which is Temple Hills. Honestly, I could see it. I'm not even shocked anymore. It's like, in that neck of the woods, all right, yep, that's I, as someone that's from Maryland, specifically Baltimore, and listeners, if you know, you know, in every state, you have that person that's like, these are the places that you should go, and these are the places you should stay away from that door in these parts of the night. This is one of those times. Now, the thing that kills me is, when he left, he ran his tow truck into the doors. If you're a tow truck, don't you have your company's insignia and brand on your tow truck? So wouldn't it be easy to be like, oh, it's this tow truck with this license plate, and then all you got to do is go, well, who was having that license plate at that time of that day? And they're going to have it in their records. So he's going to get caught. This is why I always say, listeners, think again, think a third time before you do a permanent decision based on a temporary reaction. Now, have I been upset because there's been some food that's been missing or whatever, or it's not around anymore? Yes. Would I try to two-piece an owner or run a car through a door? No. Because at the end of the day, I can always just get other food somewhere else.
Message!
Like, my nigga, like you gonna tow the whole store away because you couldn't get a wing? You couldn't get a three-piece spicy? Like, you legitimately risked your whole livelihood over some food that you were responsible for. Like, you didn't want your chicken tendies and fries and you wanted wings. Dog, I'm sorry for you, but things do not work that way, man. Like, you legitimately just have to understand that, hey, sometimes don't work that way. And if you really don't want your food, cancel your order and call it a day. But no, everybody got to be right. Everybody got to have things their way. Everybody think it's Burger King, which is not. So I'm going to need you and all your crew to chill the fuck out. Yes, Coach Scientist.
Two things. Number one, why they kept saying allegedly? You knew, you have him on video that he did it. Not allegedly. He did it.
That's fair.
Number two. Sir, this old man, these young people these days, you know, these young people. You're not wrong, sir, but y'all also had anger issues back then, too.
You're not wrong. We did. But I'm not driving a whole-ass truck into a building, though.
I'm not saying that we should do that. I'm just saying.
Like, Coach of Sciences, what if we rode up to P.F. Chang's and they have your beef and broccoli? I mean, your Beijing beef or whatever. What is it that you order again?
Mongolian beef.
Whatever beef you're going to have is going to end up like that TV show on Netflix, which you should check out. That's our little pseudo Brother X's stream. That's just a really crazy situation, man. So we're going to finish out one more a part of What the Fuck Studios. We're going to go ahead and talk about this really for those who it may be for, trigger warning. But the Dalai Lama is in some hot water for some really asinine choices that he made and try to come up with a BS excuse for. Let's take a listen to ABC 7 Chicago.
The Dalai Lama is apologizing for what he calls a playful moment, and we want to warn you that the details of what you're about to hear here might be considered graphic. The exchange involved a Tibetan spiritual leader kissing a young boy on the lips, and at one point he reportedly asked the child to suck on his tongue, which he stuck out. This is not video of that incident. Footage of the moment, we're not showing you, by the way, has prompted backlash. This happened in February. But just today, an apology was issued when that video started to make the rounds on social media. In a statement, the Dalai Lama said he wishes to apologize to the boy and his family for the hurt that his words may have caused. The statement goes on to explain that he often teases people he meets in an innocent, playful way, even in public.
basically, the whole situation is crazy because you, as a world figure and someone who's very prominent in all the things that are going on, you're supposed to be a spiritual leader to a group of people. You're supposed to be, like, for lack of a term, the Jesus Christ of your religion, in a way. And you are doing that. Like, sir, I don't know if it's just, it can't be like, oh, it's like a cultural thing, like it's very innocent. It's like, dog, you don't have the luxury as a world figure and a world leader to do something like that and think that, oh, it's just going to be played off as a joke. Like, I get being playful, I get doing all this stuff, but dog, you are genuinely in the worst type of position because you got families who might bring them to meet you who are trying to have a connection to spiritually to their higher being. So it's just crazy to me that that is something that you thought was a good idea.
I don't understand how asking somebody to suck on your tongue was playful.
Especially if it's a child. Like, yeah, there's no, child. Like, hesitation of it. It's like, he is a boy, dang it. Like, you can't do that. Like, even if he wasn't dying on me, like, it's giving me very predatorial vibes. And no matter of apologizing or a scripted comment by whoever your publicist was on your Twitter or social media can cover up the fact that you did something that was inappropriate. Mr. Smith?
You can't joke about that, man. Like, I get the statement where he states, like, you know, oh, usually when it comes to people like that, like Dalai Lama and all that, they will usually, like, make a joke when it comes to, like, new people that want to meet them. Like, oh, my God, I want to meet you. You know, I've always dreamed about this moment, whatever. But yeah, I mean, why? Why? What is suck on my tongue? What in the immortal? What? No.
Exactly.
No. That's not cool. Like, I can get, and trust me, listeners, don't get me wrong. As Mr. Smith, I have a very dark and dirty mind. I get where you can make a joke out of just about anything. You're talking about a guy saying that to a kid. No, absolutely not. That is not cool. And I'm not saying that I'm going to jump on the train, but, oh, we need to cancel or whatever. But I also am going to be like, yo, you might want to go into hiding for a little bit, buddy, because that was a bit much. That was a whole, I'm like, that's almost like, and this is definitely not apples to apples comparison, but you know how when you were younger, and you had that one aunt or one uncle that came in that you really didn't want to hug. She's like, ah, I don't want to touch that because that's going to be too much, whatever. Just like, go hug your auntie, uncle over there. Go do that. And they're like, all right, come on over here. Let me get a hug real quick for da-da-da. Like, it's almost something like that, but this is a little extreme for me. Like, at the end of the day, what were you going to gain from asking a little boy to suck your tongue, whether you're playing around or not? I would understand if, you know, like, all right, little boy kiss him on the cheek or whatever, and then he's like, get the other cheek, like, for good luck, or, you know, like to do in the cartoons. That's one right. thing. But no, we're good. I'm good. That's you know what? I'm done. I'm gonna head out.
Yeah. So that's just another episode of What the Fuck Studios. People just. You got some goddamn sense. Drive right, act right, and keep your body parts to yourself. Now we're going to take a moment to actually go into our Black business highlight. Give me just a moment. I'm going to pull it up to make sure I have it read correctly. All right. And we're back. So we have Harbison Coaching. Harbison Coaching LLC is founded by Justin Harbison. All his credentials will be in the show notes. He is a speech therapist. He also does individual marriage and family coaching and motivational speaking and poetry. I actually had the pleasure of meeting this brother back when I was a junior at the illustrious Tampa University. He was one of the graduate students there who was studying to be a speech therapist. He just solid, upstanding brother, proud member of Iota Phi Theta Fraternity Incorporated. Just really good dude. Big brother, mentor to me, just all around stand-up dude. And he just been building this business and just kind of doing a lot of work, great work. And if you really are interested in any of the things that I've listed before, you can check him out on his social media at Harbison Coaching all one word. So it's HARVISON coaching on Instagram. He has a website as well. I believe it is harbisoncoaching.com. And you can check him out on Facebook as well. He has a link tree where you have a lot of different things. He does a lot of spoken word and different things. You can check him out. He also has a YouTube channel as well, which is under the channel of Harbison Coaching as well. So again, that is Harbison Coaching on Instagram, social media, as well as YouTube. All this information will be on the show notes as well. Now, let's get back into this week's topic. So listeners, we were talking about Freaknik and about people like posting stuff and how we are glad that some of it wasn't on social media. Some of it should have been. But in particular, we wanted to talk about this very interesting subject of flexing for the gram. And listeners, for those who don't know, it is a expression that we use to talk about how people choose to post certain things on social media to gain a certain level of clout or positive recognition. Like, oh yeah, I see you doing big things, man. I'm trying to be like you. And in a vacuum, that can be cool if you're posting it because you want to share these moments with the world that you're very happy or proud of. But then there's other moments where you have people like Moneybagg Yo, who at a Memphis Grizzlies basketball game decides to flash multiple amounts of jewelry and throw dice. Listeners, for those who don't know, throwing dice is gambling to try to earn more money while said game is going on. Like, sir, this is a Wendy's on the court throwing dice and holding up the money phone. Like, dog, you see the security and other people are literally talking to them. I'm like, hey, you can't do that here. But they continue, niggas being niggas, go nigga. And then, like, they above it all, just flash on the ground because, like, hey, man, I'm above it all, man. I got this money. It's very similar to the stripper in the owner's booth last week, where it's like, there is a time and place for said things. Like, dog, help me understand, what was the purpose of this?
Are you giving me that money?
Like, are you giving it to the community? Are you giving back? Or, like, are you reinvesting it? Like, dog, what's the point of flashing all this money? Unless you were actually going to do something with it. Because what you make yourself look like is a free meal. Now, I know you got security and you got people and you hood and all that other stuff, but dog.
That's what women are for.
Well, you're not wrong. Mr. Smith, any thoughts about this initial story?
So the initial part, right? When I looked at the video the first time and, you know, he's talking about, oh, yeah, you know, we're trying to get to the money and get to our community. But, you know, the very next clip, you see him, you know, that courtside dime, you know, chained up. Hey, do your thing. You want to be at court, whatever. But then you're rolling dice on courtside. Now, listeners, depending on the type of game, let's just say for argument's sake, it's a Memphis and Lakers game, as they will be seeing each other within the next couple of days. Those tickets are easily $5,000-$10,000 a seat in courtside. Make sure I say it clear. Courtside could range anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000, depending on the opponent or whatever, right? So automatically, you spending that type of money is like, whoa. But then on top of that, you're bringing out all these $100 bills and you're cashed up. You're rolling dice. And granted, yes, I do kind of sound like an elder as I'm talking about this. But as Brother X says, it goes to show there's a time and place, right? And furthermore, for those of you, I'm going to be honest. This is me being 100% candid. For those of you that do the whole, I put a whole stack of hundreds on a brick to my ear like a phone, or I'm fanning it out talking about, yeah, we get to the bread. I'm going to be honest. Y'all ain't got that much money. And I'm going to tell you why. Usually those that take that kind of money out, yeah, they may be ready to lose or I'm ready to drop a bag. I'm ready to do that. But that just means you're rich. That doesn't mean you're wealthy. If you're willing to drop that much money for jewelry, sorry.
I said, we agree. I was saying facts.
And I would just say, I don't understand the purpose of it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's my whole point. I don't understand, like, okay, you're perpetrating that, or not perpetrating. You're showing that you got all these hundreds, right? Oh, yeah, I'm getting, but yeah, I got the money, right? What are you trying to gain from that? Are you trying to gain clout? Because if you try to gain clout, what is that going to do for you? Is that going to, now for certain people, like if you run an online business and you're doing this to gain more customers to your business, that's one thing. If you are doing it to generate income, that's one thing. But if you're just doing this just to flex to be like, yeah, I got money, I got money. All right, what does that do? And this is coming from people that don't have that kind of bread. You know, right. Like we get by what we have and we make do. But it's like, as I've said multiple times before, the loudest one in the room is not the one that you want to look towards. And that's being really loud. As Brother X said, that's a free meal. Literally, you are a target because anybody, I mean, look at PNB Rock. Look at all the rap artists or hip-hop artists that got gunned down over some crazy stuff like that, over robbery gone wrong, over, I mean, oh my God, who was the guy that sounds like 50 Cent? That got killed. Pop Smoke. He got killed over a botched robbery because he gave his location away at the last second and it showed that he went shopping that day. Now, shopping is a little bit different, but it kind of has the same premise. What is the point of you showing that outside of you being a free meal? That's all I'm saying for that.
No, and I think it does speak to like the bigger point of like listeners, we're not trying to get on any high horse or trying to say that social media is bad and you shouldn't like share things on the gram or any other form of social media, but it's just understanding like the I remember something that always stuck with me is that people who post stuff on social media are trying to eclipse or capture a moment because we don't get to have them as often. Whereas you, they're truly rich people, like Ms. Smith said, they get to have those moments over and over, like the same night. Or did Donald Glover's freestyle. But I remember Cat Williams has a joke that he talked about when he went partying, hanging out with Dwayne Wade, I believe it was. And it was like, the whole joke about like I got a savings and a checking account and I got to move the money from the savings to the checking account. And a lot of people who are the ones holding up all this money are those same people who got to move money every time they have a big night in order to not go into the red and have people come repossess all that stuff. And ultimately, you have to realize too that a lot of stuff you see on the gram is for show. A lot of these IG models don't live in these apartments. They're crashing on somebody's couch. They're renting these cars. These dudes who rode around in Atlanta in these Lamborghinis, they rent them for the weekend, but you don't see them driving it on a day-to-day basis. It's like, dog, you look like you worth all of $50, but rolling in a five-digit amount car. Something ain't adding up. And what do you do? Oh, man, I'm a hustler. Nigga, you sell Reggie at the corner store. What is you doing? But I think ultimately where a big fascination of it is that when we see people who we want people's lifestyles that we want to emulate, we try to do exactly as they do. And ultimately it's like, dog, that nigga ain't like that. She ain't like that. Like, oh man, I'm stressing about trying to have all these fine clothes. Like I'm trying to be secret and stuff like, dog. 90% of these people either have knockoffs or they're borrowing it from somebody else. Just be genuine to who you are because it's like, dog, I'm going to let you in on a secret. No one really cares. Like, all them lights, like, I'll tell you a prime example. There are people or breakdown, like, say, for example, on Instagram, you can pay to boost posts where you can actually end up getting followers. Like, I remember J. Cole talked about in the song A Lot, where he talks about how many artists are paying for streams
a lot
for their music. And it's the same thing with social media. It's like, you're trying to build up this following, this clout, this make this who you are bigger than what you are, and you become trying to become a Kardashian, being famous for nothing. Mr. Smith.
So I want to take it a step further, right? Because I know that part of it, and just listen, we might go a little deep here, just bear with me. But we know that, you know, back in the day, I'm going to say like early 2000s, right? There was all these rappers that you, the thing was you had to have a blingy chain to show you made it in the game. And that was before we had all the information that we have now, right? But if you look at people nowadays, like I said, there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. Right. I'm going to give you the top, I'll probably give you the top people, richest people in the world. Bernard Arnault and family, who is the CEO of Louis Vuitton. Elon Musk, I'm not even going to go there with him, but he's rich. Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon. Bill Gates, who owns Microsoft. Warren Buffett, Larry Ellison, Larry Page, Segrin Brin, Steve Ballmer, Carlos Slim. All of these are billionaires with a B, right? That is wealth. That is generational. My children's children, children, children don't got to worry about nothing. That's wealth. Would you see them at these types of games, shooting dice, having, you know, $500,000 chains on, or, you know, being Balenciaga'd up? And again, like I said, if that is what you want, like a Balenciaga, whatever, hey, rep your brand. You earned it. But it's not, again, as Brother X said, these people I just named, they're wealthy. You will see that. You will see Bill Gates come out in some khakis and a freaking long sleeve shirt, and that man is worth $115 billion. You will see Elon Musk in a t-shirt and jeans. Hell, you'll see Mark Zuckerberg like that. These people have, they got money. And they don't put on for all of that. But then you see our rappers who might have a million here, a couple million there, whatever, got all this jewelry on, and like Brother X said, it's rented or it's passed down or you know, something along those lines. Instagram is a book of what people want you to see in their life. They will not put everything that happens in life. They will only put usually the good stuff. I mean, obviously, there's other life events that could happen, marriage, funerals, you know, things that could pop up. But usually on a story, it is usually the person's what they want you to see about their life. But you, as Brother X said, those IG models that you always see, like, oh man, she's always in this plane or on this island or whatever. Number one, she ain't paid for it. She got flued out. And she got to do something strange for a piece of change. Number two, she probably doesn't own the place that you think she does. But as Brother X said, she's probably crashing with three or four other people on a couch or an air mattress. And I'm not saying that to generalize all of them. There are some that are probably getting to the bag. But again, what is the point of you telling everybody your business of, oh yeah, I made it? I think there was a quote that Ocho Cinco said where he said, when your name becomes so big that there is no value of money that can be placed on it. Wherever he goes, people know him as Ocho Cinco. That holds more value than him putting down $100,000 or whatever type of change. He could go somewhere, a hotel or whatever, like, hey, I want to check in. And the first thing people say is, oh, you're Ocho Cinco. Yeah, let me. Because they know your name, they will do things for you. Also, those people that are very wealthy, do you think they buy everything? No. They get it, and I'm using air quotes, gifted. Or, hey, you do something for me, I'll do something for you. There are backdoor deals that happen that nobody talks about, but it's understood. I, as someone that's worked in the federal space, I have been in rooms with people that have made, you know, 10, 15, 20 million, 30 million, like, and you can tell in their delivery. Now, listeners, will I ever get to that money? Probably not.
I work for us, you won't.
Look, I'll be happy with a 4 for $4 or a $5 foot long, even though it's like $9.36, but we ain't gonna go there. but just listening to how they talk about it in their money stage, like they go about their business knowing, like, okay, this is set aside, or let me move this way, and how they maneuver and move through rooms is way different than what you would see with these artists. And that's not to say that the artists are not smart. A great example of this, J. Cole. J. Cole, when he came out, you know, he had the sideline story. He had Born Center. He even has a song on Born Center called Chaining Day, where all he wanted to do was get this one chain. But then when you get it, it's like, is it really worth how much you had to dive for, how much you had to grind for it or whatever? And then if you notice, as soon as he really thought about it, he didn't need all that stuff. Insert 2014 Forest Hills Drive. Now he's back on his bike. Now he's just, you know, okay, I got some J's. I got on some regular jeans, whatever. But you know that man got money. Yet he's humble about it. And he's chilling. He wants to be. The thing is, the really big piece I want to take away from this is when you provide that lifestyle, that piece of money, you bring people in that may not be on the same path that you're on. If you were to bring that money up in, let's say, a strip club or whatever, and listeners, I'm going to give you a little bit of game on this.
Talk your shit, Mr. Smith.
Let's say you walk into a strip club, right? And you pull that bullshit out where you're like flashing a whole bunch of hundreds of fan or ones, whatever. 9 times out of 10, about 4, 5, 6 strippers going to run to your section and be like, hey, you want to dance? Hey, you want to do this? Whatever, right? They're not doing that because they like you. They're doing that because they want to get paid. And rightfully so. You just showed them, oh, this nigga a lick. He got bread. Let me dance for him. But you're also doing that for 4 or 5 other people. You burn your money out like that. And I'm, I didn't think we were going to bring this up, but I'm actually going to bring up, you know what story I'm about to bring up now?
Gosh.
The Connor one.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay. Fun story time. Quick story time. Me and Brother X were in Magic City on random Brother's Trip weekend, whatever. Sitting at the bar, you know, chilling, talking to the bartender, having a drink, just vibing out. In comes this, I guess, Atlanta-based rapper. I'm going to assume he was an Atlanta-based rapper. I don't know. He was the only one with a chain on. He came in with like 20 niggas. they were deep, all dressed in all black. And if you've ever been to Magic City, the stage is set up in like a big H. So the inside of the H is like a seating area to where you can, you know, it's like the, I think it's the most expensive VIP section, obviously, because you're right next to the stage. All 20 niggas trying to fit into that part. Well, of course, the Atlanta girls, the Atlanta strippers is like, oh, this nigga brought all these niggas. They must have money. Let me go over. Listeners, they only dropped maybe $20 between 20 of them.
Sheesh.
The main person that was the artist was on the phone the whole time. He barely was paying attention. And all the rest of them were just like, yo, shorty, let me get a dance, da, 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 whatever. Meanwhile, and me and Brother X, of course, we know, we peep game. We watch all of our surroundings. There are 5 white people in the corner section. When I tell you, we knew they had money from the time that we watched them. And one of them walked up to the bar after he was talking to these 3 ladies that were, you know, in this little section talking. He was spitting game, right? This is how we knew he had money. He walked up to the bar and said, let me get a bottle of Hennessy, a bottle of Don Julio, a bottle of Patron Blanco, and a bottle of, I'm trying to remember the last one. I want to say it wasn't Ace. I want to say it was Rose. It was Bel Air Rosé. Let me get a bottle of Bel Air Rosé, a bottle of Don Julio, and a bottle of Henny. That, and then he took the bottles to the girls and said, here's a bottle for you. Here's a bottle for you. Here's a bottle for you. Listeners, each bottle of those minimum is $300. This man just almost dropped $1,000 on 3 people that's not even dancing there. And that's just him. He had 4 other people there, and they were throwing money too. That's wealth. And you want to know what was crazy about it? They didn't go in there blasting their money or whatever, but we could tell, oh, y'all got that trust fund money. Okay, bet. We see you. Enjoy your show. But they were smart about it. And that's the thing that we want to say here. Sometimes you don't have to put it out on social media. Sometimes grind to have your money, and the people that need to know will know. But though, not everybody needs to know your business.
Yeah, no, that's real. And I think that is a great way to put it. It's just, dog, not everybody don't need to know everything about you. Like, listeners, if you go to my Instagram, like, there is very few moments that I post, and it's very rare. Like, it's one of those things that you want to be able to live in those moments, and ultimately, you want to take stock of what exactly is it that you're putting on your social media, and what is it really for? Like, if it ain't my family that I'm still very protective of, or something that I'm very proud of, or something having to do with J. Cole, most likely, I don't really share that much. And that's okay, because, again, who is it really for? Because if you're trying to put on this persona for other people, like I said at the beginning of this conversation, 9 times out of 10, people really don't care. Because if you're an IG model, I promise you, I can go to the For You page and scroll and find another 10. Or if you're a rap, or you're an aspiring rapper, you got all this money you're trying to put on for the gram, I promise you, I can find another 5. Dog, I could go to my local McDonald's and throw a rock and hit 5 aspiring rappers. And I promise you, their Instagram's going to look like they got all the money in the world. Dog, go ahead and make me my McDouble and my McChicken sandwich and go ahead and give me a large fry. Keep it moving.
Not the McDouble.
it's just like it's not worth it ultimately, especially if you're paying for it. Like this whole concept of like, yeah, I got paid for this blue check. It's like, dog, you're paying for clout to get to be seen as someone and verified. You're trying to get like some justification for who you are. Ultimately, dog, what are you doing for it? Because this social media stuff is not real. It's not real life. Yeah, we share it, but what it's intended for and what it's being used for now.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
That's all good. But ultimately, it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's not real. But I think that is a good place to put a pin or stop this conversation for today. Coach Scientist, do you have any final thoughts?
No, all I was going to say was when I post on Instagram, it's mainly for me now. I remember when I used to post it for everybody else. And yeah, those days are long gone. But I feel like it comes with age also. Age and wisdom, and depending on where you are in your life.
I think that's good. I agree with that. So, listeners, just take stock of what you're doing it for. If you're really doing it because you just like sharing, like, your transformation and your glow up and all those things, more power to you. Just be more cognizant of it. If you want to share your thoughts or your opinions, or if you agree with us or you disagree with us, you can always hit us up on our social media at TheTNTPod123 on Twitter, Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, Truth and Transparency Pod on TikTok, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on YouTube. And you can always hit up our email with your thoughts, opinions, or any other ideas that you have for us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. So for the culture scientists, Mr. Smith, and all of our loving supporters, if this podcast is no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. And the immortal words of my father, eat the elephant one bite at a time. Peace.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to make enough money I can
fly private?
Yeah.
Shh. I ain't flying private. Spirit. Put me on Spirit. Exit row. Window seat. That's all I need. Long as I get from point A to point B. I don't need private. Athletes more so. If you can get to a point in your career where your name becomes bigger than anything you can purchase, there's your value.
Wow.
My name itself, Ocho Cinco at one point, even still to this day, is bigger than, why am I driving a Ferrari? Why am I driving a Rolls Royce and I'm Ocho? Oh, we talk about jewelry and watches and chains. Never bought real anything when I was playing. Never, what was the point? I went to Claire's.
So all you do,
for what? 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 What?